bless the Lord. So tonight we will continue our studies from Acts of the Apostles, and we are studying under the theme, the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. The work of the blessed Holy Spirit in the early church. That is our overall theme. But each time that we come together, we find that there are different things happen that cause us to want to dig deeper into what the Lord is saying to us. And this might cause us to go into another portion of God's word in order to support the section before us. And this too, that we are glad that you have your Bibles too, so that you can go there with us. And sometime if needs be, to read a passage of scripture. So we are going to continue in Acts 4 tonight. We were there the last time, but as I said to you, you did not get enough chance in order to make your statement or your comment or ask your question. Tonight we're going to make sure that you get adequate time in order to put in your contribution in the study so that others will benefit from what you have discovered in the word of the Lord. So we are going to make sure that from the very outset, we open the telephone lines for each and every one of you to make your comment if you discover something from the word of God. But let me just say before you start that it is interesting that the Apostle Peter start preaching from chapter 3, and he continued to preach into chapter 4. And it is while he was there preaching along with John and the man that was healed that we find the first open attack of the enemy comes on the early church. And it came about because of the first recorded miracle of the young church that was done. You remember that there was a man who they carry at the gate, beautiful gate leading up into the temple. And he sat there and asked people for alms at all times. But this time, when he asked Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter extended a hand to him, held him, and pulled him up. And the word said, at that point, his ankle bone received strength. And he leaping, jumping, he went straight into the temple. And the rest started there. As a result of him jumping up and praising God in the temple, he becomes the center of attraction. And all eyes were glued onto him, because they realized that it's the same man that was out there sitting every time asking for alms, because somebody had taken him there and let him sit there and ask the people going in for money. Now he's not out there, but he's in here. He's in the church. He's in the temple, jumping up, not asking for alms this time, but he's jumping up, leaping, praising God. And as a result of that, we see where Peter, all of those who gathered around, Peter uses the opportunity to present Jesus. It was all a work of the Holy Ghost. It was all arranged by the Holy Ghost to create an opportunity to glorify Jesus. And Peter preached through chapter 3 into chapter 4, where we are right now. And we are told that they were grieved. Verse 2 tells us that the leaders there were grieved when they listened to what Peter had to say. And what did they do? They grabbed them and put them in locker. They grabbed them and put them in locker. They locked them away until the next day. That is what happened. And that starts something new in the young church, where the servants of God come under heavy persecution. The servants of God were threatened, and all the rest that goes along with it, which we will discuss. And so we find the young church having exposed to the wrath of the enemy, because the enemy did not like the presentation by Peter, because it glorifies Jesus. And so tonight, there are a whole lot of things that was said here based on the reading of the scripture tonight. And I'm trusting that there are different segments of it that you would like to share with the brethren. The last time I remember, it was only Sister Barbara. And Sister Barbara brought up quite a number of points, which we did not have enough time to go over. So apart from her, I know that others do have their points here tonight that they would like to share. And so I'm going to open up the phones, and I'm going to ask from the very outset here, if you have your thoughts, if you have a question, we would like to hear, and we would like you to say it as quick as possible. But the whole thing surrounds the attack on the early church and God's servants. Question to us tonight. If you were there and you experienced that your leader, the Apostle Peter and John, were locked away by the authorities who have the power to do so, what it is that will be passing through your mind? Because it has never happened before. This is a young church just coming out of Pentecost. Just coming out of Pentecost, young and inexperienced in terms of witnessing and having the enemy abused any member. Young and inexperienced, yet full of zeal. But to see your leaders locked away, and you don't know, we don't know what the outcome of that locking away of the leaders would end up being. Would it be temporary? Or would it be something that lasts for months? At that particular time, nobody knew. Nobody knew. You being there, what would be your thoughts? I hope the phone lines at this time for the first person who would like to share their thoughts.
I would like to sorry, brethren. I would like to point out here that from chapter 3, we see where Peter and John continue to lift up the name of Jesus. not only to lift up the name of Jesus, but also to speak of his death and his resurrection.
Yes.
And said who it was and raised him from the dead. He spoke of God who rose Jesus from the dead. So that's quite a testimony. Quite a lot of things they said in just a few verses there. And it's so important that we lift up the name of Jesus and speak of his death and his resurrection and who raised him from the dead. That's quite a testimony there for people who had rejected Jesus and saw his crucifixion, and now hearing these two men, Peter and John, now speaking to such a vast multitude of people. What I want to point out here is the importance of lifting up Jesus and speaking of his death, because it's through his death we have life, and also who rose him from the dead. Well, raised him from the dead, and that was God. So there we find Peter and John emphasizing the name of Jesus, his death, and his resurrection, who was done by the Father, which is God. And so we want to say here tonight, right through this chapter, chapter 4, we see where Peter and John continue to speak of Jesus of Nazareth. And we now need to understand, because there is power in the name of Jesus, there is power in his blood, which we see in the scripture, and there is power in our testimony, testifying of the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. This I admire about Peter and John. They didn't speak of themselves, but they continue to speak of Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
His death, his resurrection, and his resurrection was done through the Father, which is God, they may mention. Those are the things that I would just like to point out here. And also that throughout that chapter, chapter 4, they both continue to speak about Jesus of Nazareth.
I would like to also comment, in addition to what Pastor Fiani just said, this is Sister Henry. I detect also an element of jealousy coming from the authorities, because they did not like the attention to be drawn away from them. And to know that people are coming, gathering to talk about someone else. In fact, the person whom they was in compliance with to be crucified. They didn't believe that he could be raised again from the dead. And now this is something that they will have to deal with. So in putting Peter and John away, they were going to be coming together with the Pharisees, whom I don't believe they were really so much involved with. They didn't. So this is also another aspect of what was going on too. Why they didn't, Peter and John was not really tried maybe at the time, but you know, they put them away. They wanted to shut up the mouth, just like nowadays authorities want to stop us from worshiping. They want to imprison missionaries to stop them. I think that's another aspect of the matter we could look at.
Yes, yes. All right. Before we take another comment from somebody else. Let us look at the two thoughts that were shared just now. Pastor Fiani rightfully identified that Jesus rose from the dead, and he rose from the dead because of the Father. And that is so true, because when you read St. John chapter 10, verse 18, where the Lord said, no man take it from me. First of all, the Lord said, I have the power to lay down my life and the power to take it up again. And then he said, no man take it my life from me, but I lay down of myself. I have the power to lay down, and I have the power to take it up again. And listen to what he said as a footnote. This commandment have I received of my Father. Clear cut. And so you find that there is no disagreement in the Godhead.
Amen.
There is a sense of unity that exists in the Godhead that allows all of these things to happen smoothly. And here is where Peter, from the very outset, Peter realized that the name of Jesus is going to take center stage in the young church. Because the young church will have to realize that it came about as a result of the sacrifice that Jesus himself made. I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to raise it up again. This commandment I have from my Father. And so Peter, having entered, and I am saying this to the brethren, that we need to just look and see how skillful or the wisdom that the Holy Spirit uses in order to bring about this. To bring about this. What he does. Something that people could not deny. Because every time that they would enter that temple, they would pass this lame man sitting down at the outside of the temple asking for alms for those who enter the temple. And over a long period of time, because the word said he was sick from his mother's womb, he was born that way. And therefore, we don't know how many years that he has been there, but we know that he was a man about 40 years old. And people would go in from time to time, and pass him there. Brethren, let us see the wisdom of God here. Let us see the wisdom of God unfolding itself before our very eyes. The Lord make it clear, absolutely clear, that this was a sick man. And it was nice abroad that this was a sick man. Everybody who goes in the temple know him. Yet the Lord chooses to start here with this sick man, that he might be glorified. That he might be glorified. Because the thing about it, the devil cannot deny that this man was sick. So now that it is made clear that this man is sick, and for them to be in the temple, all of those who enter into the temple that afternoon, and to see this same man out there, that was out there, coming into the temple, not just walking now, but jumping, leaping, on top of his voice, praising God. I heard Sister Fiona said the last time that we were here. No, the time the Bible study before the last time, that she had the impression that this was not the only man rejoicing. There were others there who were rejoicing with him because they were glad for him. Not to mention that there were countless others who disagree with what the way in which it was done. But I believe with Sister Fiani that there were many who were rejoicing with this man as he was there jumping up, praising God, and testing those anchors, and to find a life and a strength in there. And that is where, this is one of the things that we cannot overlook. The wisdom of the Holy Ghost. The wisdom of God by making sure that this, that had happened is something that cannot be denied. And yes, Sister Judy, it brings about a certain level of jealousy. Because all those leaders of the synagogue, the temple, they passed this man there from time to time. And they didn't do anything in order to help him. Maybe some of them drop him a change from time to time. But that is just about it. But here they are in the temple, the leaders. And to see this man being healed, and when they inquire, he was healed by the man called Jesus. It brings on, and it must bring on, a certain level of jealousy. The fact that Jesus was able to do it, and they passing there over and again did nothing to him. So jealousy crept in. And we see the manifestation of this jealousy. What did they do? Instead of bowing to what Jesus did, this outstanding miracle on this man, they decide that they are going to silence God's servants. The name of Jesus has taken center stage in the young church. And all those who are there are now looking and wondering and imagining what next is going to happen, because they have never seen anything like this before. I pause here as I allow somebody else to share your thoughts.
Hi. My name is Donna. I'm a visitor.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for coming. And we're glad to hear you sharing with us.
Yeah. My thought was verse 13 Hello? And 14. Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. My thought was verse 13 and 14, because they were marveled. Seeing what had happened, they marveled.
Yes.
Now, these two men, Peter and John, they were uneducated. They were untrained. And what happened with the healing of this man is not something no one can question. It happened.
Yes.
And they are marveled now. What do we do? Where do we go from here? Because there's no denying of this. And this is the work of this is the work of the Holy Spirit now. But you ask a question where, if you were there, what would you do? What would you be thinking? If I was there seeing all of this done, I know that I would say, well, the Holy Spirit is not working. No, the same power that healed this man is the same power that is going to deliver Peter and John.
Amen. Amen.
That is the same power that is going to deliver them. This is the same power. And this is what they waited for in Acts 1, verse 8. This is the same power that they got in Acts 2. This is the power that... So if I was in Acts 1, if I was in Acts 2, if I was in Acts 3, now I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord now. Because these men have to be... And then what got me, they realized that these men were with Jesus. So this man Jesus, no, this is something now with this man Jesus. So, you know, this is so powerful. This is just the work. This is just the Holy Spirit just all over this.
Yes.
They can't deny it. They want to run away from it, but hey, they can't.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, my
before you respond to Donna, there is also someone who just calling from Kingston. I think they wanted to make a comment. Go
okay.
ahead. Kingston
caller. We're glad to have you. Please go ahead. Caller from Kingston, we are glad to have you. If you would like to share something with us, please go ahead.
Number ending with 801-5851.
All right. Maybe the person might be having a difficulty just now. But let's go back to what our sister Donna shared with us just now. We will have to understand when Jesus said, I am going away, but I will send you another comforter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I encourage all of us to go back and read John 16, where all of these were said to the disciples. At first, they did not really hold it. They did not embrace it because they were sorry to know that Jesus was leaving. But the fact that Jesus explained to them what the comforter is going to do, they came around and they understood where Jesus was going with all of this. And then, as our sister mentioned, if you watch the movements of the Holy Ghost to Acts 1 and 2 and 3, then you will discover that yes, they lock away Peter and John, but we are going to wait on the Holy Spirit to make his move. That's the only conclusion that one could come to right there. Because they have never been there before. They have never experienced anything like this. And the person who is in charge of the church at that time and this time, may I add, is the blessed Holy Spirit, is the CEO of the church. And he was operating all along from the man got healed until this point. And the thing about it is that the Holy Ghost knows his next move. My brother and my sister, we have to stay here and marvel at the wisdom of God. Because Peter knew fully well, that what he's preaching, the resurrection of Jesus, what he's preaching is contrary to the leaders of the church that he's in. to the leaders of the temple, especially the Sadducees. The Sadducees were right there who do not believe in any resurrection. And Peter was emphasizing and drilling away about the resurrection of Jesus. Pastor Fiona made mention of it earlier. About the resurrection of Jesus. And then he continued to minister from 3 into 4, where it reached a boiling point and they couldn't take it no longer. They have to lock them down in order to stop Peter from preaching. I am saying to us here tonight, I'm saying to the enemy has not changed. The enemy still want to lock down the church. The enemy still want to lock down the church. In different ways, the enemy is coming at the church tonight, creating difficulty for God's people, attacking the work of God from different angles in an effort to get you and to get me discouraged, threw up our hands and said, "Why, I can't manage it anymore." But the Holy Ghost is there. The Holy Ghost is there to rearrange and to give us the strength that we need to stand in a moment of trial. Thank you very much, Sister Dana, for your comment there. It is really spot on. Is there somebody else who would like to share a thought with us here?
Well, of course, my lesson is more than in this number.
Hello?
Mr. Ellis?
Hello?
Go ahead.
I was just mumbling to myself, you know.
Oh, you were just thinking.
I just wanted to say Acts 4:12. You know, it says there's no other name given among men in which we can be saved, only through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Yes.
No other name. Jesus Christ's name is the only name in which we can be saved or we shall be saved.
Yes.
So that's all I wanted to say.
And that is true, Sister Ellis. That is true. I remember not too long ago, there was one of our TV personality in this country, Oprah Winfrey. She has a very big mega microphone, and she said there are several ways to the Father. There is not just Jesus. There cannot be just Jesus. There are several ways to the Father. And I remember Franklin Graham used the opportunity to take her on and to say, read what the Word said. Read what the Word said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, he said, cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. And so when it is, when you're, and seeing that you are there, Sister Ellis, seeing that you are there at 12, it is important for us to look and see how Peter replied. Let me read this portion here. We are still in Acts 4, and I read from verse 3, and I'll be going down, so please follow me. And they laid hands on them and put them in holes, meaning they locked them away, until the next day, for it was now eventide. Albeit, many of them which heard the word believe. And the number of men, and this is interesting, the number of men was about 5,000. What about 5,000 who believe in what Peter was saying? 5,000 new converts for the church. Despite what the Sanhedrin Council is trying to do. 5,000. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and this body of people that is being described here now, is the same body of people, according to Matthew 26, that came together and arranged to kill Jesus. Mm-hmm. So this is no joke here. Peter and John's life were on the line. This is no joke. It's the same body of people. If you go to Matthew 26, you will find, I think, from verse 3 and 4, somewhere up there, that came together in order to arrange that Jesus be killed. And here they are again. I read from verse 5 again. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. You see, this thing they heard, and they decided to put an end to this preaching. And when they accept them, meaning when they accept Peter and John, when they accept them in the midst, they ask, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Well, let me tell you, if there is any occasion for somebody to tremble, it would be here, as the servant of God. In the middle of this council, they place the servants of God and ask them, explain to the council, tell us right now, by what power or by what name have you done this? Oh my Lord. Here is a body of people who Peter knows very well can put him away for good. John bearing the same thought. In this moment, come on, church, think with me. In this moment, what do they do? Before I finish reading, let's look on something here. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 12. Turn to St. Luke chapter 12. Before I go any further, let's go to Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 11 and 12. Say Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. And when they bring you unto the synagogue and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought, what thing ye shall answer, are what ye shall say. Jesus forewarned them long ago that there lies the possibility for his name's sake, that they might, at the authorities of the day, might drag you into a council, might drag you before the magistrate, and threaten you, and you becomes jittery because you are wondering what is it that you're going to say and what you're going to do. Jesus, from way down there, started to comfort their heart and to tell them if such a thing ever happened, what they are to do. And listen to verse 12, what Jesus said. St. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let me go over 11 again, because I really break your train of thought. And when they bring you unto the synagogue and unto the magistrate and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye are to say. Can you imagine that Jesus thought long ago that this time will come, and when this time comes, they should not worry because the Holy Ghost is going to be on the scene, and the Holy Ghost will take charge of their vocabulary and tell them what to say and how to say it. Let's go back to Acts 4. I will pick up from verse 8. After they said, and when they had set them before them, verse 7, in the midst, they asked them, by what power, by what name have ye done this? Meaning causing the man to remain whole. Listen to verse 8. And you will find that how much this tie with what Jesus said. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus had said it a long time ago. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Now, it is the Holy Ghost now is speaking through Peter to address the matter at this time. Whereas Peter, conscious of the presence of the Holy Ghost, was not intimidated as one might ask. He was not trembling because he knew that he was operating in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has taken charge of their fears right now. Peter and John and the man that was healed was only standing there. But the Holy Ghost was in full control. Not only that he was in full control in the lives of Peter and John, but he was in control of the Sanhedrin Council. Every move that they made was being watched by the Holy Ghost. Everything that they say was being heard by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is speaking now. Choice words that the Holy Ghost are using as he seeks to glorify Jesus. Let's go on to verse 9 of Acts chapter 4. If he this day, Peter said, if we this day, be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man. By what means he is made whole. Listen to this pointing section of the discussion. Be it known unto you all, Peter said, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, there we go again. Peter used Jesus Christ of Nazareth again, deliberately, by the Holy Ghost. That we are talking about the Jesus of Nazareth that all of them turned their backs on. All of them. But it is that name which was quoted that caused this man to be able to walk. And now Peter is using the name again as he presents the word to them. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. There was a time in Peter's life where he would not dare say that because he would be afraid that they would kill him. But now he's using these words freely and boldly and pointedly to the Sanhedrin council. Whom he crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Whom God raised from the dead, even by him, this man, stand here before you hold. This stone, this is a stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And Peter rubbing the sister Ellis. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter end his presentation right there before the council. Powered by the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't think that Peter want to get away. Peter would want to get away free from the council. And Peter himself knows that the name of Jesus is what is creating the problem here. So Peter would want to drop off the name of Jesus so as to free himself and John. But no, Peter doubled down on calling the name Jesus. Peter doubled down on the things pertaining to Jesus. Peter was not afraid because the Holy Ghost was in total control.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Pastor, this is the same Peter that this is the transformed Peter, because this is the same Peter that denied Jesus. This is the same Peter that rebuked Jesus when Jesus told him he was going to the cross. And
the
this is not
the
Holy
Spirit.
And this
Peter.
Is the work of the Holy Spirit now.
Exactly. Go ahead, Pastor.
Pastor, I think we need to pause a little bit and try and underline and analyze what we have just read. And the question is being asked, why is it the church today who speaks of God, our Heavenly Father, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, the Redeemer of all mankind. And the Redeemer said to the same Peter and John and the other disciples, on the day of Pentecost, you will be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you would have power. to preach and teach and to heal the sick. Why is it it's not being demonstrated now among us?
Now that's a very good question, Pastor. Very good question. I oftentimes ask myself the same question. Because one, the need for that manifestation is here still. And if you ask me, it might be even greater because we have more people in the world who are in need of that particular healing like what that man got. So the need is still here, or even greater, as I said. The Holy Spirit is still available. We cannot deny that. We must embrace this. So the question is, what is blocking the line? Why is it that power is not flowing in the church after it was promised to the church? The only conclusion that one can come to is the lack of faith on our part in the ability of God to perform his miracle. And this is where we as a people, as servants, really have our work cut out for us. I remember as I read this the first time that we're going to do the presentation on in the study, as I read when Peter confronted the man at the gate there. The man asked Peter for alms, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, that is a command that was given. Peter gave him a command that he is to stand up. Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That's a command. That is a command. Without anything else, the man should get up and start walking. But there was something else. There was something else. And the Holy Ghost was present. There was something else that Peter needed to exert as a servant. Do you really, Peter, believe that this man can walk in the name of Jesus? And what did Peter do? Peter's exercising his faith in the name of Jesus. Believe that he can be done. And he grabbed him by his arm, lifting him up. The word said, it was at that point, after Peter exercises faith in Jesus, that the man received power in his ankle, that the man started to jump and leap. If Peter hadn't done that, the man would still be sitting there tonight. But he grabbed him in saying, "I believe that what Jesus said is true, and what he said must come to pass." He grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. And his faith proved truth in the word of God. You and I, other leaders, we need to find out if our faith is at that place. Because the needs are here. The Holy Ghost is still alive. And the authority was given to the church. So we will have to look on the whole thing, and God wants people to be healed. That's another thing we need to look at. If God is interested in people being healed, at the same time, God expects us to use the power and the authority that he gave to us in a respectful manner. One wonders if we being there in the person of Peter, how we would use this power. Because it creates boldness and change in Peter's life. Peter becomes bold as a result of what happened to this man. Which we will see in the next verse that we're going to read. Will we, as God's servants, be as disciplined as Peter? Because, you see, you need to remember that Jesus, while he had all that power vested in him, according to St. Luke chapter 4, Jesus did not just go around and heal everybody in line, go all the way down there. People who did not even ask him for healing. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was quite disciplined with how he uses that power. Peter was also disciplined in how he uses that power. Will we be as disciplined if we are vested with that extraordinary power as Peter and the Lord? These are questions, really hard, searching questions. But I want to tell you one thing, Pastor, the church. There are many situations in churches. There are many situations right now that requires miracle of this nature through the church. And I think that we will, after looking at these things, we examine ourselves to find out where is the power blocking. What is blocking the power coming to the church? Very good question, Pastor. Question that needs to be asked. The answer is in the Word of God. Bless the Lord. Somebody have another thought that you would like to share? His time is going after 9.
Yes, Pastor. There's so much. I think you're going to have to do this whole this chapter over again. You were talking about the power. Even before Peter and John, before in Acts there, when Jesus had sent out the 12 and then the 70, he gave them authority in his name to do all these miracles. In his name. So maybe what they're not doing is using the name of Jesus. And I have to jump to tell you all the things that I have that the Holy Spirit is revealing to me. Because even as Peter said to them, why look on us, when they were asking, why look on us? And he told as if it was their power. Yeah. And then he had to explain to them that is the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name that caused the man to be healed. That is just a little side thing because of what Pastor Fiani says. So, yeah. And leaders, you're talking about leaders. Jesus sent out all his disciples to go out and do these things. Go and pray for the sick in his name.
Yeah.
And he said he would raise them up. But in chapter 4, Pastor said another thing about analyzing. And certain words in every verse there, I would have loved to speak about. And I have something here. I'm going back to Acts 4, talking about the priest. 1 second. I'm going to lose my stuff. The priest. 1 second, Pastor. Talking about the priests, the captain, the Sadducees, and all these people. And it says, being grieved. They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And then I just wanted to remind us of 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Yes, that's right.
First Corinthians chapter 15, sir. How they explain about the resurrection of the dead.
Yes.
And it speaks about so much in that chapter, that Jesus was buried, rose again, and so forth. And he was seen with Peter and all of that. And then it goes on to say that if Christ be not risen from the dead, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain.
Yes.
All of that. So there's a whole lot about the resurrection in chapter 15, which, I mean, I don't want to stray from this subject, but coming back to Acts 4, is so much in the book of Acts, dear Pastor, that I wanted to say something about. For instance, I noticed when you mentioned about 5,000 of them saved, men saved. And I was just here saying to myself, where are the men today? 5,000 men. And I think all of this congregation, most of this congregation of people were men. If women were there, it's not mentioned in this.
Yes.
But they were all men, priests and whatever they were. And men, and Peter, knowing the scriptures, he was preaching to all of them, you elders and rulers of Israel, and giving them the scriptures which they already know, including the high priest.
Yes.
And as I'm telling you, after the jumping, and the verse that somebody has mentioned there, that they talk about, they perceived that these men were unlearned and ignorant.
Yes.
They were not like the Pharisees and like Paul or Saul of Tarsus that became Paul. They were unlearned, according to them, ignorant fishermen.
Yes, sir.
And they
took
knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Is anybody taking knowledge? Is anybody taking knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus?
With Jesus. Hallelujah.
There's a whole lot of things. We need to go down to that thing verse by verse. One verse, then the next verse. So, Pastor, we can't take up any more time. So, I just jump through it.
Well, thank you, Sister Barbara, because you have covered quite a number of areas there. But it is important for all of us to realize that the young church, was really exposed to this sort of hatred from the enemy. Hatred from the enemy. And hatred, the type of hatred that would cause anybody to think twice as to whether or not I should continue with this. But the Holy Ghost was in charge. The Holy Ghost was in charge of the whole thing. And the Holy Ghost worked it out to glorify Jesus. At the end of the day, the council of the question, Sister Barbara, finish that is verse 13. Is the council who make this statement? Think about it, saints. Is the council who drag these two men before them? And guess what? The man that was healed was just standing beside Peter and John, standing there as evidence of the ability of what the name of Jesus was able to do. Listen, so it is the council that says this, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. The council. All of these guys, if they were here today, little people with their master's degree, some of them with their doctorate, some of them would be professors. In the case of Nicodemus, he would be a professor today. That body of learned people, the cream of the crop of the day, the political leader, they were the religious and the political leaders were all bundled together, saying the same thing. It's not like now they're trying to separate state and church. It was one thing then. The political realm and the religious realm were one unit. The cream of the crop as far as learn is concerned. And they said in 13, they described these guys as unlearned men. And then they said, they marveled. They marveled. And they took knowledge. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So Jesus didn't go to their school either. And Jesus didn't walk around flashing a degree. But Jesus, wisdom surpasses the wisdom of men. His holiness, his righteousness, his justice is everything. The fullness of the Godhead was in him. And he was able to impart full knowledge to the disciples. Jesus was a lot more educated than any one of them sitting there on that, in that council. You remember at the age of 12, he was found in the temple answering questions and so forth with lawyers and doctors at the age of 12. They took knowledge that they have been with Jesus. Something they saw in the disciples. Something they saw in Peter and John that rushed to their heart and caused them to reach a place where they themselves convinced that there is a that is greater than the one that they are wielding. And it is vested in these men. And just imagine the man that was healed. When he heard all of these things, I believe that he grabbed on to Peter and John Moore, hugged them tighter. My God, today's my blessing. He must have thought. Brothers and sisters, I wish we could go on for another hour, but we have to stop here. I just want to say thanks very much for your contribution towards this study. And I hope that next time we come together, there will be more thoughts and inspiration and revelation that comes from you as you look into God's word. The Lord bless you, and we are so glad that you are here to be a part of this Bible study tonight.